to Hammered in Helios, a 5th edition spirited Dungeons & Dragons homebrew campaign. During each session, our cast not only tries to survive the cruel Dungeon Master's plans, but also reviews a delicious bottle of liquor. Remember, whether you're adventuring through a fantasy world or just listening to ours, please drink responsibly.
Hey, it's Mike Williams, playing Essen Baratheon. Your friendly neighborhood evocation, wood elf, wizard, all the things that I am. This week, the whiskey we have is from Two James. I've brought Grass Widow. Two James is based out of Detroit. They're actually the first distillery in Detroit after the Prohibition. They were founded in 2013. It's named after an old whiskey brand in Detroit. It actually is considered a high rye bourbon. The mash bill is 59% corn, 36% rye, and 5% malt, coming in around 91 proof. Purchased from MGP, but of course they didn't want to just buy something from someone and then bottle it and sell it as their own. So after being aged for about 4 years, then they take it and they finish it in Madeira barrels. Of course, like I said, Two James, they do some great stuff. They're very, environmentally, they are conscious about those things. They source local ingredients when they can, and just, you know, super conscious about making a good product. And I think they do. So.
Oh, no, little bitch.
Mike's first whiskey.
No, you guys didn't see this because you weren't looking, but when he took a drink of that, I saw a fly right into his mouth.
So that went down the wrong way. But yeah, that's good. No, seriously, it's not. Honestly, it is not that strong. It's really smooth. I want to go 19.
Hey, this is Brando. I play Victor Nambrahal IV. And I like this whiskey as well. This is pretty tasty. Is it like a sweetness to it? I'm almost getting a little bit a sweeter.
A lot of sugar, yeah.
Yeah, a little sweeter flavor to it. It is smooth. It gives me a nice, almost like tingly aftertaste. It's I like it a lot. I am going to give this a... I'm going to give it a D16.
This is Garrett, and I play Ignath Redjaw, the Orc Ranger Monster Slayer. And I have to agree with Brando, at least on the number, just off the bat. I think this is a 16, which I feel like is a high enough ranking for me. It's like, I like this.
Hi, this is Dean Rains. I play Oren Can Fix It, your gnome battlesmith artificer. And I just tried this Grass Widow. And I have to disagree with everybody in this room. I did not enjoy this at all.
Oh, wow.
It bites very hard at the beginning. And then on the very end, there was like nothing. It felt super flat for me.
This podcast just got interesting.
I mean, I'm just being real. Didn't enjoy this one. I'm gonna say like a 5.
Wow.
I really didn't like this one, guys. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Owen Landsberg. You're... malicious, evil, but lovingly tender dungeon master.
Why do you say lovingly tender? That just is so intimate.
I thought you knew.
Yeah. You know why.
I've it's never giving seen, me the eyebrows.
Yeah, I've never seen Brando get so awkward. I really like this whiskey. Is this the same people that make that peated bourbon that you brought?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought I recognized the artwork. I really like it. I think there's great, like that nice, like kind of starts mapley.
Yeah,
and you get this nice, like, vegetal kind of dryness to it, which is, like, where you get that rye, for sure. And it finishes nice and smooth. So I really like this. As Dean tastes it.
He's making faces.
He's trying to find the sweetness.
I just don't get it. I don't hit any of these tastes.
You don't
any
taste
of these...
the maple? It's like maple syrup in here.
Yeah.
No. It's like, it just tastes like bad whiskey.
There definitely is a lot of...
Disclaimer that all whiskey tastes like bad whiskey.
Yes, they'll see that.
I can't wait for you to bring in an alcohol.
It'll be good.
Yeah. It's going to be like straight Grey Goose or something.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll do a straight vodka review.
We're reviewing margaritas tonight.
Jack Honey or...
Anyways.
I like Peach
Jack. Crown.
Peach Crown. Crown Peach.
Peach Crown is good.
I really like it. I think it's very tasty. I would definitely have multiple glasses of this. The next one, I think I'm actually going to get some ice. I want to try it on ice with some rocks in it. I'm gonna stick with like most of you guys. I think I'm gonna give it like a 15. I'm gonna go one lower than you guys, but I think it's pretty much up there.
That's respectable.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. And with the final review in, it is at 71 out of 100.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Chartreuse is still the reigning champ at 74, but we've only
is
had
it really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I change my
do you want to get higher than Chartreuse?
No, I want to give it a lower rating.
Oh, you want to give Chartreuse a lower?
I want to drag it down. I hated that.
Didn't the Brook Laddie
you already gave
like
it a 5.
I know, it was awful.
Before we begin this week's adventure, I need to give a special shout out to BattleBards.com. BattleBards specializes in creating the coolest and best sound effects and ambient music on the market for your tabletop experience. They have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of files ready to go at your fingertips for you to use as either a dungeon master or even as a player. And they have so graciously donated some of their library to Hammered and Helios. So from now on, whenever you hear a Nessun cast a spell, or Ignath shoot his bow, or any of the other cool sound effects you'll be hearing, you'll know it's from BattleBards.com.
Aboard Beachfang at sea, I greatly enjoyed watching the lowly crew members entertain themselves while bored. This is how they live! I won a bet on a fencing competition, but was then challenged myself to a duel. The lad was much more cunning than I expected and caught me off guard. However, real combat is different than these simple peasant games, so no worries. We discussed potential plans to infiltrate House Tain. It's all futile, of course, but they need to feel secure. Before we could finalize a plan, we were attacked by sea creatures. A Nessun and Oren devised a plan for Beachfang to roar like a dragon and a Nessun to launch lightning. To all of our amazement, Anessin's lightning instantly destroyed their leader and 5 others. They wisely retreated. Afterward, we finished our planning. It will go in 2 phases. Phase 1. Anessin, Oren, Ignath will pretend to be Thatch's guards while delivering the slaves. There they would say that we have Davana and will agree to return later with her. Meanwhile, I will scout ahead. Phase 2. I will pose as Davana, and they will turn me in an attempt to enter the palace and strike from within. Ha-ha!
Hey, everybody. Owen, your Dungeon Master here. I wanted to give a quick little content warning for this episode and for many of the episodes to follow. The heroes are about to get into the city of Cork, and if you listen to our first 2 episodes, you know that Cork is a very pro-slave city inside of Helios. And this episode, and for many of the ones to follow, while the heroes are inside Cork, this will be an issue that is talked about quite a lot. They will be meeting NPCs that I voice and act for that are very pro-slavery. And I just wanted to say that for myself and for my cast here, none of us are pro-slavery. None of us agree with any of this ideology. But this is a fantasy world that has very old-timey, antiquated, outdated philosophies about people. And I just wanted to say, I know it's a very sensitive subject, but this is going to be a very big thing that the heroes will be tackling for the next possibly 6 to 7 episodes. With that, I hope you enjoy the 3rd episode of Hammered and Helios, A Father's Disappointment. You're only a few hours away from Cork. Cork is a port city, but it's actually not on the ocean. Cork is upriver a little bit. So you guys are about 2 to 2.5 hours away from the river. And then from there, you guys will, the river is wide enough in order to have your ship continue up there. Once you hit the riverbed, you guys will be about 1 hour away because you have to head upstream to get to Cork. Now, once you get to Cork, that's when all the shit you guys have planned can start to go down. So I'm going to give you guys a last few minutes here to figure out the final plan, if you guys want to change it at all, or if you want to say fuck it and go somewhere else.
You guys want to go to Hawaii instead?
Dude, I've been thinking about it.
That was – Asema's basically Hawaii.
Iknath gets a wicked tan.
So Victorin is nervous. I think if you see him, you would notice that for the first time, he's a little anxious, and he's just kind of fiddling with his knife, kind of sharpening it and just fiddling with it and just waiting.
I mean, I think we need to get disguises of some sort. Like, I'm like, do we have like different things we can wear?
Personally, I'm not super concerned with what a house of criminals if they recognize me for being a wanted fellow.
Right. Yeah. So that's the only thing.
I don't think they're a house of criminals. I just think they're a house.
They're literally buying slaves.
They're a noble house.
Yeah, but I think we just determine them criminals based on our own morals.
You guys would know
the law.
You guys would know that House Tain basically runs Cork by proxy. So there is a mayor of Cork, but he basically just answers to Lyric. So you guys, you can call them criminals, but in their own city, they are the city. They are the law. They run everything. So you are literally like walking into somebody's home, and your home is the entire city. To give you guys an idea, I based Cork off old Portugal. So even the people there are going to kind of look like people from Serif, a little bit more Mediterranean olive skin.
I don't know if I'm like, we kind of already have our plan.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Do we just like roll the dice with it?
Like literally roll them or figuratively?
Roll the dice, drum roll, haha.
As you arrive up the river to Cork, you can't help but feel the energy of the city. For it's nothing like the uplifting energy of Serif or the chaotic energy of Asema. You feel nothing but sadness and complete dread come from Cork, the city of slaves. Its stone buildings have been painted a dull azure blue trimmed with a chartreuse yellow, the colors of House Tain. The cobblestone streets are barely taken care of, lined with the sick, homeless, and needy of the city. Worst of all is the amount of slaves that you can see with inside the city. A majority of them are anthropomorphic animals. Each slave is identified because they wear a collar around their neck that is pulsating with some sort of energy. The only people that look in somewhat of a good mood are the nobles, smugly walking the streets and not making eye contact at a single individual person. You look up past the people, and three buildings with inside the city are recognizable to you. You see a large circus tent that's as big as a city block, a coliseum that is painted in blood red, and the keep where Lyric Tain rules Cork from the shadows. You guys are now going to be approaching the docks. I'll give you one last couple minutes here to finalize anything or talk about anything, but you guys have a few minutes to get there. What would you guys like to do?
I'd like to ask Thatch if he knows anything about these collars.
Yes, I do know for a fact what those collars are. They basically suppress the wills of whoever wears it, and the owner will usually have a command word or item that they can press or word they can say, and it will electrocute the slaves. It's how they keep them docile.
So, Thatch, is this command word or button, is this a one-to-one relationship, or is there a master control? Is there a, if I were able to shoot, maybe a little, photon missile into this thing, it blows the whole big kabang?
Just like hunting womp rats back.
It's like an exhaust port, yeah, so to speak, that we're looking for. Yeah.
Each command word is associated to its owner. So if you were to own 10 slaves, you could set a word to each collar and a command word that's like a master word that can electrocute all of them as well. So it's not just a like single unit, but is a magical item that is bestowed and given to the nobles for free here in Cork.
Any rumors of how to disable these or any words that could render them useless?
If there was one, I haven't heard of it, but I am sure there's got to be some sort of workaround.
Perhaps you could take a look at these, Oren, see if you see their understanding.
I'd like to do that.
I feel like magical collars would be something that you know something about.
Well, it depends what kind of magic is within them. You know, what, sure, I can make mechanisms work and whatnot. And if that's the way that these are being utilized, maybe a button press or a lever or whatever that may be. But if there's a magical command word associated with each of these, that's going to be a little bit out of my area of expertise. It's not to say that if we've got a moment, I can't take a look at some of these. Could I investigate one of the collars?
You would have to get one of the collars. So you can only see them. To investigate would be you need to get your hands on one.
We don't have any on our current people on board.
No, they usually...
Oh, they put them on when they get them.
Yeah, when they get transferred over. As you dock to Cork, you see that there is a figure wearing azure blue robes that are trimmed with chartreuse yellow waiting for you. It has a cowl that you cannot see his face. As you lay down the plank to be able to walk down, the figure walks up and takes off his hood, and you see Croft standing in front of you. Well, hello, my dear old companions. Welcome to Cork.
Hey, Croft, it's wonderful to see you. I guess you got sick and tired of trying to save the world, so back into the slums you went, eh?
Oh, I've never been a part of the slums.
Right, that's why we find you in Cork. Anywho, it's good to see you. We're here with a shipment. I assume your boss will be along shortly?
No, I was told to deliver you guys directly to Lyric himself. If you would please follow me, I'll take you directly to the keep.
I'm eyeballing him. Am I able to slip away, or am I...
What do you want to do?
Suppose, well, aside from when you guys had your brief meeting, he doesn't know that you left Asema with us. He just knows that he pointed you in our direction. So there's no way that he should know you're on the boat. So you just wait till it's died down a bit, wait till the action's gone, and then...
All right, yeah.
That works too.
I'll hang back a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I like don't want to follow Croft. I'm very unhappy.
Well, he's an NPC. We can kill his ass.
I know. I'm
very, very unhappy that Croft is here, but I don't have anything to say. Just broodingly frustrated.
Oren, Ignath, Anesin, and I do believe you have a fourth with you.
Thatch, he's asking for you.
No, Victorin Amberhall the fourth.
The man with the hat.
Oh, the man you pointed in our direction who tried to cheat us out of our gold in Asema?
Yes. When he says yes, everybody give me an insight check.
Oof. Not good for you.
13.
Nat 1, baby.
Yeah, things stay constant, I guess. I can't. It's a 2. I don't know if he's lying or not.
Dirty 20.
Do I have advantage?
Dirty 20?
Because it's a Croft.
No advantage on this one, yeah. Ignath. You all believe him.
Well, we left him in Asema after we caught him cheating in a dice game.
Deception?
15.
Oh, Oren, we both know that's not true. You brought him here.
We did bring him, but I think Oren's suggestion was that he might carry my weapons for me. He couldn't beat the duelist on board this ship.
Well, if Victorin wants to go do his own thing, that's fine. We'll be watching him no matter what. For the other three of you, though, if you'd very much follow me, Lyric Tain himself would like to meet you.
I'm sure he would, but what makes you think that we would want to be in company of such a dishonorable piece of scum such as yourself?
Dishonorable piece of scum? I am hurt. Didn't we travel together?
Oh,
didn't we defeat many gnolls?
Oh.
I've always had feelings.
Yes. And you're honest about them.
I have never, ever lied to you.
That's a perfect cross right there. Oh, my God.
Insight check.
So I might not be able to do the voice, but I know how he role plays.
That's great.
Yeah. Don't even worry about it. You all, you actually don't even need to roll an insight check. You all know that he's, that's a lie. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I don't even know why I'm asking for a roll. You all know.
Croft never tried to hide that he was lying. He just lied. Yeah.
To give some history, because I had to talk with Brandon about this. Do you remember on his last session, Croft did say that he did used to work for House Tain as a gardener?
So you traveled with us with the intent to take down House Tain. You abandoned us right before we get to Cork, and now you're working for House Tain, and we're supposed to follow you right into the Den of the Lion?
I have been assured that there will be no harm.
You have never told us the truth once. I don't even believe that Croft is your actual name. So for you,
Orin, I am hurt. Didn't we work together? If you continue to lie to me, you will be hurt. Those nice and fancy scarves. We made those together.
I take the scarf off and throw it on the ground. That's a real thing.
Are you trying to hurt my feelings?
I want to pick it up and put it back on.
I'm going to attack him in like 2 seconds.
I'm going to pick it up and put it back on.
I'm so close to attacking him.
Do you remember you are in a city ruled by House Tain?
Yep.
Okay.
Don't let him frustrate you, Orin. If he does anything against us, I'll cut his arms off.
Please. If I didn't have any arms, how would I make such fanciful clothes like this?
You've already made my dragon armor for me. Obviously, your honor has left you more than we thought.
If you're our liaison, lead the way.
He turns and he takes a couple steps, then turns back around to see if you guys are following.
Orin will follow.
Nesson looks at Ignath.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nesson will turn, but I don't know how far away we are at this point.
You're still on the deck of the ship.
And Thash is there.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll say, Thash, Beachfang, just in case things get a little crazy, which, you know, we probably got it under control.
They tend to follow you wherever you go.
Well, just in case. You might want to head out or at least keep yourself safe. Protect the ship, Thatch. Beachfang, do what you need to do to survive. If things go a little sideways.
We won't be far.
Thanks.
If you could send out some sort of signal. Yesterday, you cast a lightning bolt out of your fingers. If we were to see a lightning bolt go out from the city up into the sky, that would be our signal for us to come back. So if shit happens, we will leave. But if we see a lightning bolt go up, we will come back.
I will make sure that, I will signal you with lightning.
Is Victorin coming with us?
I am going
to. Are you
going
to like.
Heard him call you out.
Yeah, I did. I'm still, unless he forces me out, I'm not coming out. But I am definitely following you guys. I would like to follow at a distance to be as stealthy as possible.
As Ignath, Orin, and Anessin follow Croft into the city, you see another one of his delegates wearing very similar robes walk past you guys and goes to pick up the slaves from Thatch. The three of you walk through the city. Before we hit the city, Victorin, what are you going to do?
I would like to trail behind at a distance, following them.
Give me a stealth check.
What is that, a 9? 16.
16, okay. I mean, honestly, like, there's people in the city, so it's not like you're trying to be stealthy to everyone. You are like the Assassin's Creed. You're just like steadily walking through crowds. You're tailing your target, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it's more about. So it doesn't seem like Croft notices that you are tailing. As the four of you are going through the city, five of you with Victorin following behind stealthily, you're going through the city. And like I described before, this city is utterly downtrodden. I mean, like, there is this sense of like everybody here is in poverty. You all, as you're walking through the streets, it is filled with people in rags. and they all have their hands out, like asking for any sort of like money or food or anything that you guys can give. Because it just seems like everybody inside the city, besides for the few nobles that you see walking around, are completely living in poverty, just off the scraps of whatever they can get day to day. So as you're walking through the city, is there anything you guys would like to do?
I'm just mentioning to the other, or Orin's just mentioning to the other guys. Wow, you would think for a city that's doing as well for itself as it is with slave trade, that maybe some of this money would have trickled down to some of the other people, but...
The great myth of trickle down. We've talked about this in my lands.
Did you know the name of the mayor of Cork is Ronald Reagan?
It's Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan
happens to be the mayor.
We sit around and talk about trickle down as well as the war on
Space Force. Guys, hear me out. Space Force.
As we're going through, I'm looking at everyone definitely with new eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I am really kind of astonished at the state of things.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of appalled, and I want to be like kind of handing out some money as I go. Unconsciously doing that.
Okay,
I'm just kind of like handing out money.
Here you go. Here you go. Gold chain for you. Gold chain for you. Also to the listeners, I realize the past two episodes we probably said gold coins a lot in my world because Emrys and the chains, all the pieces of currency are in the form of like a chain link. So there's copper, silver, and gold chain links. Oh, and platinum as well, of course. So, yeah. So if you're a gold coin, it's gold link is the same thing.
But I'm definitely putting gold and silver into people's hands. I'm kind of just not there all the way as I'm trying to keep up.
Roll me another stealth check.
That is a 29.
Okay, you're fine. Because I was going to, if you like started handing out gold, you might have caused a commotion to cause Croft to turn around.
Yeah, I think it'd be appropriate. I mean, for people who are impoverished, silver would be a big thing. So I'm probably doing that. You know,
instead?
Yeah, I'm not trying to cause a fuss. Yeah. I'm just kind of reacting to what
most,
I'm seeing.
Most people can live off like a silver for like a week.
If they're
living in poverty and just going for food, they can, like, you know, you're feeding people for a week.
I'm shaking hands. And
kissing babies,
sliding it in the hands. I'm touching people on the shoulder and dropping it in people's pots and cups that they have sitting out. You know,
so maybe I'll say that Aness and Norn, like, this isn't the natural way of things. The city's been corrupted. These people do not deserve this.
Yes, Igneth. Not everyone is as honorable as the Red Jaws.
Especially not this man leading us.
What was that?
That is for sure.
And the entire time Croft, as he's leading through the city, is like, oh, and this building is that building. And like, if you need to go by, and he's like trying to give you a tour, but obviously none of you are paying attention to it. So he's just blabbering on. At any point you want to chime in, you can, but he's just
like. If he calls out a bakery, I would like to make notion of that. That sounds super weird. But
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does call out a bakery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, can I take note of whatever that is?
Yeah, it's called the Sweetbreads.
The Sweetbreads.
Yeah. Definitely think Anessin is, I mean, with the ultimate, like, goal in mind of kind of, like, turning the city on its head, just trying to, any buildings of importance. I mean, I don't know if we're just going through the slums and then we
going through the slums right now. It's just, like,
Are the prisons and stuff? I mean, will eventually all the prisoners be marched? Like,
so it doesn't look like there's like necessarily a prison. Like, there probably is a constabulary where they keep it
held and then sold.
Mm-hmm. You would see like an area where they would hold like slave auctions. You would see constabulary. You would see like slave pens and stuff like that. So you have seen that stuff as you guys are going through like marketplaces in the slums of Cork.
I guess ultimately what he's looking for is probably. Where they like process the slaves and that whole like necklace thing. Like, where is that going down?
Gotcha. Talking about that, Orin, would you, as we're walking through the city, like to try to maybe investigate a caller?
If we get to the opportunity where one's around, yeah.
Well, there's slaves everywhere. So at any point right now, you could try to stop somebody and take like 30 seconds to, and then catch back up.
Oh, yeah. If they're just like randomly standing around, I didn't realize they were.
It's you could reach in any direction and you would find a slave in Cork.
Then yeah, sure. I'll stop and find one that's maybe not being addressed right now by maybe a master or anything like that. Maybe one that's trying to be as inconspicuous as possible. Hand them a silver and just say, could I please, I'm curious about that necklace around your, that you're wearing.
So you see a Tuscan, which is a walrus person, anthropomorphic animal, and he's carrying a bunch of boxes, and you see that he has, he's from Sweetbreads. He's carrying Sweetbreads out of Sweetbreads, and he has a collar around him.
So, yes, I say, hi, sorry to bother you. I know you're in the middle of something, but if I could trouble you for just a moment, I'm really curious about that necklace you're wearing.
Oh, of course. Seeing that you don't have a collar, he addresses you as sir, because anyone in Cork that doesn't have a collar is automatically seen as someone that is of greater value, and that's how they treat it in the city. So he goes, oh, of course, sir. And he like bends over a little bit to show you the collar, because he's like 7 feet tall and you're 3 feet.
So that is a 10, but
flash of genius.
Yeah, flash of genius. So we'll add, what is that, 1d, or no, it's my intelligence modifier. So 14.
At a 14, you actually succeed in what you're trying to find out. You do know, you have heard of items like this before that not necessarily are used in this fashion, but are similar to this item. And you would know that you know for a fact, there probably is a master word that you could say that would disable and unlock all the collars with inside Cork. But you wouldn't, there's no way of knowing it unless you were to find out what the word was from either whoever knows it or if they wrote it down or something like that. So you couldn't create a, you can't do a check to figure out what word it is. You'd have to find the word.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to stand here and just try and endlessly guess. Pickles, potatoes.
Shit. You said pick. God damn it.
All right.
All the collars in Cork come off.
Full time, baby. Let's go. I hand him a gun.
And we leave. Is there a location that we have to say it, or is it in Cork to say the word?
The caller would have to be able to hear it, essentially. So it's not like a universal word that anyone inside Helios would say. So if you guys wanted to, you'd have to find a way to like megaphone your voice across all of Cork if you wanted to like release all callers at once. As you guys are walking through the city, I need every single one of you, all four of you, to give me another perception check.
That is a 26.
11.
Oren, would you like to say what you got?
Natural 20, baby.
No!
I also got a 15. I mean, that's also exciting, right?
Yeah, it's super good. Exciting.
Yay!
It's good. Like,
and
I'm not saying it's...
Ignath, what'd you get?
It's not 11? Bad.
11, yeah.
Everybody besides Ignath, as you guys are walking through the city, in one of the few buildings that is second story, in the corner of your eye, you see an old man with very wrinkled skin standing in the window looking down at you all. And the only thing that you can really see is his eyes glow purple. Like not just the irises, not just the pupils, like the entire eyes glow purple. And as you, the three of you look up and see him, like I said, it's the corner of her eyes. So as you look up and see him, he vanishes. Like just like all of a sudden he's just not there anymore. Oren, with your nat 20, you see that he doesn't just disappear like out of nowhere, but you see him like blur away. And I'm not even going to make you roll an arcana check because you rolled a nat 20. You know that the spell teleport was cast.
Yep. Mm.
Then enter into the next area of Cork, which is blocked off, and it is like the Iron Curtain. As you guys walk into this side of Cork, it is a completely different scene. The air is a little bit more fresh. The smell is better. The streets are taken care of. The paint that I talked about that still is that azure blue and chartreuse yellow is now not faded away. All the buildings look good. The lights seem to, like the sun is a little bit brighter on this side of town. And you now know you're in the noble side of town. And it just seems to be absolutely flourishing on this side of the town. So you walk through, there's no trash on the ground. There's no beggars. There's no homeless. There's no needy. Almost even like you kind of look and you can see that some of the streets are only meant for slaves. So it's like this street that you guys are on, slaves aren't even allowed onto, and it is just the like epitome of what Cork is. So you are now on the rich side of town. Mm. As Croft continues with, hey, so this building's that building, that building's that building. Hey, this is that. And he's trying to give you a tour of it. Anything you guys would like to do?
Victorin is no longer handing out free silver.
You're not just walking up to random nobles and being like, hey, it looks like you need like this.
Rich people, you're fine.
Well, I was going to check. Is this area of town like gated off?
Yeah, so as you guys entered into it, like you had to pass what seemed like another city entrance. So there's another completely like giant wall.
Guards,
wooden doors, how like easy giant, yeah, going through
Victorin
and stuff like that.
Get through that to be able to still be following us.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, give me another stealth check.
I mean, I can give you a check, but I think I would get through this pretty easily.
Victorin, you don't need to roll.
All right.
I apologize. There was something I had scripted that I forgot in all the talks that we were having. Victorin, as you guys are going through the slums and you're handing silver pieces to a bunch of people, in the commotion of you handing out silver pieces, someone stumbles into you and you take 6 points of damage. It's like it feels like someone punched you. And then give me an insight check.
That will be an 18.
So the person like accidentally like you like runs into you. They feel like you feel like you got punched and just like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then just walks away. And you believe them that they just accidentally tripped into you in the commotion of you handing out silver. Anyways, now back onto the rich side of town. You guys continue through the rich side of town. And then this is where you see the two large buildings that I talked about. So you see this large circus tent, and there is just anything and everything you can think of with the circus that is going on. You see lion tamers, but instead of lions, they have lionels, which is the anthropomorphic version of lions. You have elephants, which are like luxodons, and they're all just being treated like they are actual animals and not people. And it is just sad and depressing, but you see these Corkians – just, you know, they're throwing money at it and just having an absolute blast. You look and see as you pass the Red Colosseum, there's the cheers of people as you're just hearing like visceral, guttural cuts of like muscle and sinew and just body spray going everywhere as people are just murdering each other for
next to the
enjoyment.
Colosseum, is it Axe body spray?
Ew.
Smell like death.
Yes, there is an Axe body spray place next to the Colosseum.
They're not asking if you want to be sprayed. They're just cutting people open onto you.
Yeah.
It's a slash and you get sprayed and you're like, I didn't ask for that.
You can smell like this man right here. Hold on.
Right, the femoral artery to just sprays. Yeah.
And as you guys pass these final two buildings, you come across the last stronghold of Cork, and you look and you see the keep of House Tane. Those colors that I talked about have been amplified to like the 1,000th degree. It is the most blue that you've ever seen. It is the most yellow you have ever seen. And you can tell that you guys are going to be walking into the lion's den. As you guys walk up, the final doors open up as the big like city gates, keep gates open up. And inside you see a large garden and somewhat of like a maze to get into there. And you see guards everywhere. There is guards like every like 15 to 20 feet and they are just standing at attention. Croft turns around, says, this is the House Tane. Here you are under his supreme rule. You shall bow to him in the most graciously way possible. And go as low as possible, for Lyric Tane himself is king of this city. If at any time you do not obey his whims or commands, you are subject to his will. Are we all of the understanding and agreed to this? You will be his guests. No harm will come to you as you are inside the keep, unless provoked.
I bow to no one.
I
Oh, they're so good, because as soon as they started saying that, Dean looked at me and was like, I know your shit isn't going to go down.
Ignath is not going to be okay with this.
I know my Ignath.
I ask again, will you all comply?
Well, if we say no, does that mean we get to leave?
Yes, but if you leave, I cannot guarantee your safety. It is only because of me that you all have made it this far inside the city.
We will meet with the House Lord, but as I do not expect him to bow to me and my great family, I will not bow to his. How many dragons has this lord of yours killed? How many generations has his family lived on the blood of those dragons?
I've only had few conversations with Lyric, so I do not know the answer to that, but I assure you, he is far more powerful than you. With a flick of his finger, he can affect more of Helios than you have in your entire life. If you want to respect something, respect power.
Well, unfortunately, respect is something that is earned and not demanded.
That is not the way of Cork.
Well, thankfully, I'm not from Cork.
Well, I can respect power. It seems no one here that we've seen thus far has any rights to their own power. This isn't power, this is control.
From what you have told us, though, of your clan, isn't there a trial that you have to be blooded and earned?
Yes.
So is that any different than here in Cork? These people, and as he points to these, as he says these people, he points to slaves, have not been blooded, to use your terms.
Do they have any way to earn their freedom?
And then he looks at the Red Colosseum. If they go into there and survive a certain number of trials, they walk away with their freedom.
And how many trials is that?
12.
Listen, we're not going to pretend that the honorable way in which Red Jaws are blooded compares anything to this sham of freedom that you're trying to propose that exists in Cork. If you're born into a noble family, then you are free. If you're not, then you're a slave.
I could respect the fact that they can earn their freedom, but in my tribe, we would never treat people terribly as this if they were not blooded. This isn't society at all.
Yes, but they're just animals.
And you're just a tailor.
A simple tailor.
Simple-minded indeed. So, here's what's going to happen.
Did you know I was going to say that?
No idea.
Oh, really? Oh, man, that was such a good line.
Lyric has demanded to see us, so it seems. So, we'll see him. We'll be guests. You can try and force me to bow, but good luck with that. And I would say good luck trying to make Ignath bow. But if he wants to see us and he has words for us, I'll hear what they are.
Croft looks at you, Orin. I've never understood why you've always been so combative with me. I have wanted nothing but the best for you.
Just like every other piece of garbage that's come out of your mouth, I don't believe that.
Well, soon you will see that that is true.
All right. That would be the first truth from you. So here's to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He turns and starts to walk you guys into the keep. Now, Victorin.
So they're going into the keep. What's the situation here? Is it says guards, the main gate?
Guards, main gate.
Entrance,
whole nine yards. It is a well-protected castle. It's the most protected part of Cork that there ever was or ever will be.
I would like to find a secret entrance.
You find it.
And I would like to sneak in.
You sneak in.
And go to where I imagine they will be meeting Lyric.
Okay. Victorin, you walk around the keep and you know exactly where you're going. You walk by a certain wall and you see that there is a small pebble attached to this wall on the outer keep side. You press the pebble, it comes in. Like a doorway, like slides down, opens up for you. It's in this like back alley. There's no one around, and you walk straight in, and the door closes behind you. You are now in this like secret entrance area of House Tane's keep. It's well lit, but you can tell like this is, it's going down underground. You keep going through it, and eventually there's no opposition, there's no guards, and you keep coming through it. And after about like 20 minutes of walking, because it's like windy paths, you end where the keep, the main area, like the throne room of House Tane is. And we're gonna cut back to the place.
Is there like a balcony?
Yeah, you're up. We'll say you're up above.
Okay.
You get up, and then we'll say like you do some acrobatics and you kind of push yourself up into like the ceiling area.
Great. I would like to plant myself up there, just kind of behind a pillar, looking down on everything that's happening.
Gotcha. Orin.
So as we're following in, I know that we were coming in from a nicer area of town, but I want to say that as we're walking through the slums, I would have kind of grabbed maybe a handful of dirt. And as we're walking into the palace, I rubbed a handful of dirt on the side of Corgi, and I'm going to cast Longstrider. So rub that dirt into the side, tell him, we don't know what's ahead, buddy, but whatever pops off, be swift.
Bark, 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 bark. So read what Longstrider does.
So Longstrider is you touch a creature, the target's speed increases by 10 feet until the spell ends. Duration 1 hour.
Concentration?
Nope.
Nice. Just 10 extra 10 feet, nothing else?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
But so, keep in mind, he also is floating 4 inches off the ground at all times now.
Right. That is right.
Is that true?
Yep.
Because of the horseshoes that I attached to him.
Oh, nice. My gosh.
Anyway, so you guys walk in past the guards. The castle gates close with an ominous and loud thud as it closes behind you. And you guys walk through. And like I said, the first area is somewhat of a maze. So you're watching Croft as you follow him, and he is making deliberate turns here and there to get you guys to the castle. So there is going to be a maze.
Perception check.
It would be a wisdom saving throw, survival actually. Sorry, it would be a survival check if you want to memorize the pattern.
Ooh, 20.
Dirty?
Dirty. Playing a ranger can be helpful.
19.
Survival bonus.
18.
18?
19.
19. All three of you immediately, you have no issue.
We know our fucking way out,
even
dude.
Back, like, I actually set the DC higher. I set it at 16 because you'd have to do it backwards. But all three of you know the exact way in and out of this maze. So you guys come out of the maze, and immediately you see the entrance to the keep. There is stairs that lead about 20 feet up that is lined with golden lions that are on each side about every 5 feet that come up the stairs on all the sides. Croft keeps walking up, and you see multiple guards with spears and shields adorning, and you can see that their shields have that blazoned lion symbol, which you know to be of House Tane, with the blue and yellow behind it. Keep walking forward and into like a common foyer area. Croft walks up, a lady behind a desk, and addresses her as Adriana. We have the new Knights of Yarntar here to see Lyric. You see her shuffle through like a appointment meeting book and goes, oh, they actually are penciled in. And as she says that, you see an old man walk out from like a side room, walk up to his assistant's desk and goes, oh, excuse me, Adriana, I'm too busy today. Whatever my next appointment is, go ahead and cancel it. I can't meet with them. And then he continues to walk around and into another room. Croft turns and looks and goes, I'm sorry, Lyric is not able to meet with you today. If you'd like to stay here in the keep overnight, I'm sure he can make time for you tomorrow.
Is this the guy that was in the house?
No. Mm. Sorry, I was trying to think of what you meant. I was like, no.
Oh, purple eyes.
No, he did not have purple eyes. And the man in the house had a little bit like bigger of a build, where this guy is very lanky and skinny. So he has a pointed goatee, slicked back hair.
Well, old habits seem to die hard. Looks like you've wasted more of our time, Croft. Thank you so much. We'll see our way back out. No need to have anyone follow us. I'm sure there someone has been already, but what time should we be back tomorrow? I'm sure Lyric would be ready for us in the morning.
Croft turns around back to Adriana, and she says, noon. Noon. He actually already scheduled you for... Did he know that he was going to cancel? Noon tomorrow, lunch, is what the book says.
So we should eat or not eat? I mean, this is a...
Don't want to show up full a lunch and then meeting? Somebody serves us food. You know it's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it says lunch, so I imagine he's feeding you.
To who?
Yeah.
I keep on wanting to look to Brandon when addressing Croft to be like, Croft, and then I'm like,
Dean was talking to me the whole time.
Yeah, so. every time I keep looking direct, I can't instinctually just looking at Brandon.
I was going to say, if I'm off of Oren saying somebody following us, I wanted to look at Croft to be like, do you remember the man that I shot in the face with an arrow in the warehouse?
Quite well. It was a sight to behold.
Don't have anyone follow us.
I wouldn't dare dream of it.
What's that?
So, if you would like to, it looks like we have rooms reserved for you all here in the keep, or if you would like to figure something out there, you're more than welcome to as well.
Oh, we have accommodations, thanks.
Wow. That might be the most assertive I've ever seen you, Inessen.
Well, maybe if you would have stuck around, you could have seen it.
It's only been 4 days.
A lot has changed.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I am going to do a scene here with Brando. And I'm trying to decide because I want the viewers to listen to it, but I don't know if I want you guys to listen to it.
We can go to the other room.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I might have you guys move into the other room.
All right. All right, dude. All right, guys. Let's go shotgun some beers.
Yeah.
Woo!
Victorin, you wait in that hall for 20 minutes in the corners behind a pillar for your companions to arrive because you believe that that is where they are going to be at. After about 20 minutes, nothing happens. And all of a sudden, Lyric walks in, sits down at his throne, and from behind his throne, Harlan walks out. They whisper some words to one another, and then both of them look up directly at you.
I step out of the shadow of the pillar, and I casually hop down to their level.
You casually hop down. Harland looks up at you.
Mors, I see you finally returned home.
I walk up to them at a respectful distance, and my personage turns a gray color and morphs into the image of Croft, of Mors Croft, who looks very much like a younger version of Harlan, almost like I could be his son. And I bow, I give him a polite bow, and I say,
Lyric and Harlan don't bow, but they do give you a very generous nod as a sign of respect.
It is so good to see you again. It's so good to be home again. Although I have to admit, it doesn't look as I remember it. Cork seems... Well, let's say I've seen a side of Cork that I've never seen before.
Lyric.
Oh, yes. We purposely made sure that you never saw the dark side of Cork. Do you still love us? Do you still want to be with us?
And a flash of anger crosses Croft's face. My Lord Lyric, I have always wanted nothing more than to serve you, to advance the cause of House Tain, because I've always believed it to be one of goodness and nobility. But alas, I have been outcast. Many years have I lived in exile now.
By your own doing.
Yes, I understand. I understand many years of service, many lives I have taken in the name of House Tain, and only one hesitation at the young Princess Calliope, only one moment of hesitation, and you saw fit to exile me for that.
Yes, you failed to do your job.
But I succeeded at so many others. I killed so many in your name, for your purpose, for the cause of House Tain. I did everything asked, everything commanded. I did it better than any other person in the entire city of Cork.
Harlan laughs.
Not better than every other person.
Yes, I admit. You were the one who taught me everything I know. You were the one who raised me as your own, as your son. But even still, I served loyally. And now here I am again, with the Knights of Yarintar, on the trail of Divana herself. I know you seek the God Touched, and I can serve you once again.
Is that a lie?
It is a lie, yes.
Give me a deception check at advantage.
Shit, dude. I'm so scared to roll this. Deception, so that'd be a 13.
I actually, because the line was good, I did say, in my mind, I put 12.
Hell yeah, dude.
Harlan says, I do want to believe you, but you have made it so hard. In Seraph, I gave you a challenge. You succeeded and killed the Oracle of Araya. But you did not deliver the girl. And now the girl is not even here. So, you want to serve your purpose again? Bring her to us. And Lyric then goes,
yes, bring her to us.
Harlan sees your thinking, and he goes,
I have trained you. I have taught you everything I know. But I tried to distill all of my essence into you. You failed your mission, and I have seen that I have put none of myself in you. This is your chance to prove I was wrong.
When you found me as a young changeling, without a home, without a clan, without a family, you gave me a home and you gave me a family. And for years I lived here as my family. It's the only home I've ever known. I never imagined that you would exile me from this. All of these years in exile, every day I have dreamed about returning to this place, to walking these halls. I have wanted nothing more than to return to where I belong. So I will serve you. I will deliver Divana, and I will prove to you that I will not fail, and you will see who Moore's Croft really is.
And as you say Moore's Croft, you see Harlan fade into that gray color, like almost colorless, appearanceless visage that you did as a changeling, and then appears as you, as Moore's Croft. And then he changes back to what who you know as Harlan. Harlan, not Harland. Harlan.
Yep. Fail again. And I will permanently replace you amongst your friends, amongst the new Knights of Yarntar.
I will not fail you again. And I transform back to Victorin Amberhall the Fourth. And I, with a flourish, I put my top hat back on my head and I say, ha ha! And I walk off.
As you turn your back, Lyric says to you,
this is your one last chance. If you fail, you will not have to worry about Harlan coming for you.
And his voice completely changes. For I will come for you.
And I look back over my shoulder.
And he's now standing up, and this old raggedy man that you have known your entire life is no longer old. He is now standing tall and formidable. Like, you can tell there has been a complete change in almost his entire physiology.
Have I ever seen him like this before?
No.
Okay. I have a flicker of fear across my face, and I nod, and I continue on.
So as you're about to turn around, you look up and you meet his eyes, and you see that his eyes glow purple, and he clenches his fist, and out of his fist, an entire sword made out of electricity comes out of his hand. We're going to go ahead and let the group back in. Ignath, Orin, Anessen, you guys turn to leave the Keep of House Tain. As you descend down the stairs that are guarded by the 12 guards, 12 lions, 6 on each side of the stairs, you go into the maze. You attempt to go through the maze in the order that you all fully memorized, the reverse order how to get into it. But for some reason, it seems like the maze has changed for you all. After about 15 minutes, you finally get out from the maze. For no seemingly randomly order or reason or anything, it just seems like the maze finally decides to let you leave. You get out from the keep and into the noble, the rich area of Cork. And outside the gates, Victorin is waiting for you.
Victorin is like smoking a pipe, just kind of like twiddling my head around. Just waiting. How did it go?
They didn't have time to see us tonight. So we'll see tomorrow.
We've also learned we may like Croft less than we like you. You moved up in the party.
Well, I appreciate that, Ignath. He did seem like a shifty fellow. I would imagine we would want to get some room and board for the night then and talk about our next steps.
I believe for safety reasons, the idea is to sleep on Beachfang. I imagine there are many people in this town who would probably slit our throat for no more than a silver chain. Maybe not close our eyes here any longer than we have to.
Well, I agree with this earlier. Is this not an opportunity to set a trap?
If they wanted to set a trap, they would have already done so.
Oh, I mean for us. Way to catch.
I've got a great one. So, what we can do. All right. Out by the docks, if we know that Croft is going to come back to get us in the morning, what I can do is I can make a contraption that when he steps on it, there will be the stinkiest gas that you can think of that will come out, and it will seep into the man's clothing, his wonderful, fabulous clothing that he's so high on, and it will just smell rancid. Is that the kind of trap that you're maybe referring to here?
And his fingers will fall off.
Well, we'll make sure they fall off all right.
I'm sure that would be amusing. However, I would imagine that this House Tain would have spies watching us even at this moment. Perhaps it would benefit us to return to the ship immediately.
Post haste. What did you find while, and then while we're walking away, what did you find during your trip around town?
And all the castles and keeps that I have been in, that place was a maze. Goodness gracious, getting lost and turned around and upside down in there. I barely made it out without being noticed. I will say that this city, I've heard a lot about Cork. I've known it for its commerce, for its trading. There were whispers of this sort of slavery and barbarism, but it was never at this level. I'm shocked and appalled at seeing the reality at this city.
Everyone give me a perception check.
15.
Nat 1.
19.
19.
With those rolls, Ignath and Victorin, now for the first time, but Orin for the second time, you all look up into one of the random windows in the houses nearby you, and you see that figure again in the black robes, old decrepit face, lots of wrinkles, gray hair, but glowing purple eyes staring at you all. But as you were like about to make eye contact, he vanishes into thin air.
I exchange looks with Ignath. Perhaps we should return to the ship as soon as possible.
That man was watching us upon our arrival to the city as well.
Was it the man with purple eyes again?
It was the man with purple eyes again.
He saw us as we came in?
He did.
To have missed us, I must have been distracted by something.
It was probably for the best. You were probably looking for spies or keeping your eye on Croft, making sure that he did nothing shifty.
What if we use this time to maybe find out a little bit more about this process and how the slaves are entered and this necklace? I don't know. I think this could be an opportunity for us.
And SNU of all people would know that with purple eyes watching us, probably we wouldn't be able to discover too much information. I don't feel safe with this thing watching over us.
We don't know if this thing is an enemy or a friend.
I'm going to assume everyone outside of this group is an enemy.
And the city of Cork, they're all enemies.
Sure. It is to our best interest to not trust any outsiders, even ones you meet in a cinema, in a bar. But we can't assume that everyone, there's no chance that someone watching over us or watching after us couldn't be on our side.
Like tracking an animal or trying to lose a prey in the forest, as much as I'm familiar with those atmospheres, I can navigate my way through a city familiar with them. We could easily move by these areas into different passages, different pathways to make it seem like we're just going back to the ship, leaving no traces. Maybe when we move by, you can investigate these things. That way, as it sees that we're being watched, it will look natural.
Excellent. Well, if no one opposes that, I say we move as Ignath helps cover our tracks.
And then I will cast Pass Without a Trace on all of us.
You cast Pass Without a Trace. You guys are going to take somewhat of a scenic route through Cork. While you guys are doing this to be able to see some of the sights and lay of the land and whatnot, I'm going to ask for each one of you, because now you have seen Purple Eyes, to give me a perception check with advantage.
So, like, now we're looking out for him, right?
Yeah. You know that someone's watching you.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20?
19.
Orin rolled a 19.
All right.
18.
All you pass. While you guys are going through the city, you notice not, like, every building or even, like, every 15 to 20 seconds, but it seems very much like 2 to 3 times almost every single minute, while you are watching and looking around your surroundings, you are seeing purple eyes in windows watching you guys. And it's not like he's like in every single window. It's like he's is teleporting here and there to keep eyes on all of you. So Pass Without a Trace is working for common people, and you guys are able to walk through the city, but it seems like whoever this is actively watching you and is able to see past you with Pass Without a Trace. You get to the dock, and Beachfang is still there. Thatch, first mate, and the entire crew is still on board. Nothing has happened to them. Croft has kept his word that while you guys were inside the city, you'd be fine. You get up into the deck of Beachfang. Everyone there welcomes you, hugs you. It's like, what in the world happened? Why'd you guys come back so fast?
Well, Croft explained that Lyric was waiting to see us, and by the time we got there, we were immediately told that there was no time, that he would see us tomorrow for lunch. So, as he's done in the past, Croft wasted another day of our lives.
Is that what he said? He said he wouldn't see you today.
Something along the lines of he was tired, or he just wouldn't be able to see his next appointment. But they had already had us penciled in for tomorrow, so...
So they're expecting a meeting tomorrow, then?
At noon, for lunch.
Something to think on.
And I would warn any of you, if you leave the boat and venture into town, we've been watched the entire time we've been here. Someone, an older man with purple eyes... just inside the buildings, watching us from the windows, and no intentions, no idea what the intentions are, but I don't know if they'll be following and watching you all as well, and I wouldn't want to see anything bad happen to any of the members of the crew.
Thatch replies,
I have already told everyone with your mission that you all have not to leave the ship. We are self-sufficient on here. We have food and drink as much as we possibly need to. Do not worry. The crew will not leave.
Victorin looks distracted and is not responding.
Victorin is also sweating heavily, like beads of sweat across his face. Everything about him is utterly sweating.
Can we perceive this normally?
Yeah, no, you don't even need a perception check. 100% all of you see this.
I'd like to walk up to Victorin and put the butt of my sword against his stomach. Like a short draw almost. What's the need to sweat, Victorin?
As he says that, Victorin... remember when you got punched earlier this session?
Yes.
Pulsating energy comes from the area that you were punched and overtakes your heart to the point where you basically have a heart attack. As Ignath questions him, grabs his heart area on his chest, falls to the ground, and... you see Victorin change into a featureless, appearanceless, gray creature for like 2 seconds, and then changes into a ice dwarf with dark hair, blue eyes, and pale white skin, then changes back into the featureless, appearanceless, gray creature. And then after 2 seconds, changes into a forest gnome with green hair, brown eyes, and then changes back after 2 seconds into a weak old human male wearing priestly garbs. And then after 2 seconds, changes back to that gray, featureless, like colorless creature. Then after 2 seconds, changes into a full orc, various scars all about him. Changes into the gray creature that you saw before. And lastly, you see him change into the visage of Croft. Thank you so much for listening to our third episode, A Father's Disappointment. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at HammeredInHelios or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HIHpodcast. We do have a subreddit named HammeredInHelios as well. Also, a special shout out to Marco Giro for an absolute banger of a song, 20 Ways to Die. Find him on Instagram at TheMarcoAgiro. Our next episode releases on August 16th, and it's titled, Who is Victorin Amberhall IV? And in that episode, we also review Old Forester Bottle and Bond Bourbon. Now, let's get hammered.